Would you turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10? Wednesday night is Old Testament day here at the church on Wednesday night, and I purpose to teach from the Old Testament. So we learn the Old Testament on Wednesday night, every night actually, but in Hebrews 10, I'd like you to read this with me, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36. I really would like to read something to you from Nepal before, because I'm afraid if I get into the text, I won't get to this portion, so I'm shifting. Pastor Post, we are asking for your prayers from the people of Nepal, a local church in Kathmandu Valley. Over 5,000 are confirmed dead, and a great many of the villages have not been reached. Our church is planning what type of relief work and outreach we might do, especially in villages and districts where we have churches. Last night, we contacted 9 pastors in affected areas. This was written yesterday. Most of them reported that their villages are destroyed. They are in great need of tents, food, clothes, blankets. A couple villages need drinkable water. So now we are seeking contacts with relief agencies working here to see how we can help them reach these villages and to assure that the relief supplies reach those most in need. With the rains we've had since then in the monsoon season expected in a month or two, the time is urgent. While we want to help physically as much as we can, we also see the great need to help spiritually, to bring the message of life and hope to those who survived. We plan to visit the villages to share the love of Christ and to leave some Bibles and small radios with the audio, Nepali, Tamang, and Limbu New Testaments, and the message of love radio broadcast for those who cannot read. Also, we plan to do health seminars in the villages to help them avoid some of the diseases that are typically following natural disasters. Please pray for these outreaches. There is great spiritual openness right now. It's a great opportunity to share the gospel. One Hindu family near the church specifically asked us to pray for them because we are Christians. They said they are so afraid. Like tens of thousands of others, they are sleeping at night on the street for fear another strong quake could bring their building down. I was sleeping under a large tent with 20 of our neighbors and got to talk deeply with a couple of them about life and death and eternity and how Christ conquered death. I'm sure others were listening. I also gave several DVDs loaded with Bible-based English teaching programs, messages, and e-books. A young woman visited us this morning at 6:15 a.m. She lost 10 of her relatives here in the Kathmandu Valley on Saturday. We were monitoring the blood sugar and blood pressure levels of several from an extended family who've taken refuge in our church after their house collapsed. And on it goes. There's much good news here from Pastor John Post called Family Post. And you can get this from Greater Grace if you ask. Narj, who's the Nepali pastor in Pokhara, said the official death toll has crossed 5,000, expected to rise, especially in the rural areas. Those injured are more than 10,000. This number, too, is sure to rise. We finally heard some news from our village churches through Pastor Rajan. Apart from a few exceptions, most church buildings in the village churches have been damaged. A few of the pastors' homes have also been damaged. Brother Mohan, who leads a church in Trusuli, has both of his houses heavily damaged. So far, there are no reports of deaths or serious injuries among any of our people. Pastor Post mentions any donations that you would like to give, you can give through this. There's a phone number and an email, and then or through Greater Grace Church in Baltimore. So we have a fund set up. If you'd like to help in Nepal, then you may do that. And we'll take a door offering on Sunday morning here at the door if you'd like to give. Okay, and thank you for your prayers. This message tonight relates to our dear people in Nepal, but also us here in Baltimore. I'd like you to read chapter 10 and verse 36. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. Let's say that together, verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith. Let's say it like that. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back from faith, if he draws back, then my soul shall have no pleasure in him. God is saying this. I will not have pleasure in the man that draws back. But we live by faith. We live by faith. We have reason, but more than reason, we have faith. Do I have my iPad there, Pastor? Just simple picture. You're going to see how simple it is that you're going to wonder why we even took time to draw it. Okay. Wild beasts, sharks, animals, big wild animals, lions and tigers and wild animals. You know what how they live? No mercy. Have you ever noticed that? A bear in the forest meets you, and you say, mercy, mercy. There's no connection. He has no idea. There is no mind there. There is no spiritual mind. There is no way of thinking in those terms. Second category, people. You know what people think of? Justice. Okay. Not on the screen because when we moved, the whole thing went upside down. You know why we moved? Because when we were over there, we knew the people that liked the pastor sat over there. So the people that don't like us, they sit over here. So we're coming at you. Okay? All right, listen. Do you see it now? Okay, people. You know what people look for? Justice. Just think about it. Every sentence we say during the day. Simple words like, I was here first. How about, it's not fair. How about this? You did it to me. Doesn't matter, does it? All those little sentences are connected with our conscience and this constant search, desire for justice. But there's a third one, and this is Christ. And how does he live? mercy. He is the God of all mercy. God is merciful. The believer is to be like God, not like an animal, not even like a man. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Why do you walk as men? Men look for justice, and of course, we all rejoice in it. God is a just God, but he also rejoices over judgment by mercy. That's amazing. But people cannot live by mercy unless they have faith. Read it again, chapter 10, verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith. You give mercy by faith. Check it out. You give mercy by faith. They don't deserve it, but you give it to them because you live by faith. And if any man draws back from faith, my soul has no pleasure in him. Why? Because God has much for us when we live by faith. Your life has a substance that you didn't have before when you live by faith. Look at Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance. Now faith is the substance. In my small Greek book here that has various verses and explanations, I read this to you. The emphatic position of the word may suggest a definition style. The word is assurance. The word has a number of connotations and usages. Faith is the substance, but we can also say essence, foundation, confident assurance, guarantee, attestation. It documents, i.e., documents which attest or provide evidence of ownership. This is a way the word is used. Evidence or documents that are evidence of ownership. These meanings, as well as other references, faith is the substance or the essence of what you are hoping for. And then we have the evidence of things not seen. This word is matter or thing, evidence or proof. They are very similar to each other. Faith is the substance of what is hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. There is a world that we live in that is not seen. It is the world of God, the world of the Holy Spirit, the world of faith. Faith. We heard about it Sunday night from Pastor Shibley, and then Pastor Shibeli spoke about courage and being aggressive in grace. Now I'd like you to turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 13. In verse 19. Now there was no smith found throughout all the land of Israel. Anybody know what a smith is? metal worker, right? Iron, fire, making. What do they make? What does a smith make? Metal, farming tools, and also weapons like swords and knives. But there wasn't any smith found in all the land of Israel. Why? For the Philistines said, lest the Hebrews make them swords or spears. Why didn't the Philistines want them to make those? Because they were enemies. And the way they controlled the people was take the weapons away. The Jews could not have any swords. No weapons for the Jew. And the Jews could not make them either. They had no smith. Therefore, in the book of Judges, you see that they made their own tools and they killed people with whatever their hands they could get their hands on, like the jawbone of an ass. An ox goad, you know, a tool that you would use to goad an ox. Well, Shamgar ran that through 600 people. That's the kind of spirit he had, the kind of attitude he had, the kind of aggressiveness. And what was the substance of the activity? What was the real essence of it? It was his faith. It'd be very easy to make excuses and say, we have no weapon, we have no army, we have no organization. It cannot happen. But because you and I have the Spirit of God, we look at life in a different way. When dear Pastor John Post and his wife are sleeping outside because of the earthquake and carrying and writing this letter with Pastor Rajon and all the team, Pastor Narge, in a country that has literally been shaken, there is the essence of that which you cannot see that is at work in the heart of the people. How do you think the Langes went out in the mission field? The Heidenreichs went out in the mission field. How do you think that Karen Preston went out in the mission field? Rebecca Canino went out on the mission field. How do you think Pastor Mark Minicello became a pastor? And how do you think that a Bible college student goes to Bible college? Or Sam Pinkova is here as a man of God. How does the invisible happen in our lives? How does it happen? By something that is hard for the world to understand, because when they hear about it, they think we're nuts. You're out of balance. You're out of whack. You know, what are you talking about? What are you thinking about? How could that ever happen? What are you doing? You are weird. You are weird. The God in heaven is saying, this is, look it up here. Do you know how animals can live without mercy? How people live looking for justice? But how saints live by faith, and they give mercy and more mercy and more mercy, and they know how to think with God and live in mercy and live in truth and say, that's a tragedy in Nepal, but we are looking at, we are believing it is the time for the gospel. It is time for preaching. It is time for ministry. In Baltimore City, we look at it as an opportunity. How much I love this city, love this place, how much I love feeling and sensing that we are in a place where people need not number one, they don't need number two only, they need more than that. They need to discover faith in God, and the excitement of living by faith and being spirit-filled people. For we read in the Bible that so much happened when people lived by faith. Look at this next part, verse 20. But all the Israelites went down to the Philistines to sharpen every man his share and his coulter, his axe, and his mattock. Those are farming tools. They could go down to the Philistines. They would go down to the Philistines and say, could you sharpen my axe? And the Philistine would say, what for? Because I'm cutting down trees. I need a sharper. And the guy looks at him, makes a judgment, says, okay, I will do that. But behind it is, you better not use that on any human being, any Philistine. You cannot use that axe for any other reason. And we're in charge and we're in control. That was how it was. Yet they had a file for the, in verse 21, for the mattocks and the coulters and for the forks and the axes and to sharpen the goads. It came to pass in the day of battle that there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people that were with Saul and Jonathan. But with Saul and with Jonathan, his son, there was found weapons. Okay. So what do we want to say? 2 Peter 1:1. We have like precious faith. Much happens when you live by faith. When you decide to forgive somebody and you do it by faith, when we live in trials and tribulations and we go through them because we live by faith. When we share our message with people, as I did with the barber today, we talked for probably half an hour after my haircut. And he's so much interested, listening, talking, and looking at me like he cannot digest. He doesn't know how to relate to what is being said. Now, I've said you have many questions, but read the Gospel of John and ask God to speak to you, and he will. And you come to God by faith, and that's how it works. And he cannot get it. I mean, you know, like all of us. I do not know what you are talking about. I am interested in it, but I do not know how it works. What about Baltimore City? What about the kids on the street? What about the financial problems people have, the social problems in our country, and so on? And I say, and we say, yes, we know. We have many things we could say about it, but this is our way of life that is unique and very different. We live in a way that the natural man, he normally talks about justice. Listen on the politics, the politicians on the TV and everything. It's justice, justice, justice. But we have found something else. We have found a way. We have found a new life. We have found forgiveness. We have found God. We have found faith. We have found the Holy Spirit. We have found ministry. And if every one of us here today, if we related to each other based on what we deserve, very few of us would be here tonight. But if we live with each other on the basis of mercy, and we give mercy, but unfortunately, many people, they are angry and they miss the gift. I have a short story here that touched my heart today. A young man from a wealthy family was about to graduate from high school. It was the custom in that affluent neighborhood that the parents would give the graduate an automobile. Bill and his father had spent months looking at cars, And the week before graduation, they found the perfect car. Bill was certain the car would be his on graduation night. Imagine his disappointment when on the eve of his graduation, Bill's father handed him a gift-wrapped Bible. Bill was so angry, he threw the Bible down and stormed out of the house. He and his father never saw each other again. It was the news of his father's death that brought him home again. As he sat one night going through his father's possessions that he was to inherit, he came across the Bible his father had given him. He brushed away the dust, opened it to find inside a cashier's check dated the day of his graduation and the exact amount for the car. Wow. Do you know up here on the board, justice, you know, I graduate, you get me a car, that's what I say, that's justice. He's not happy, throws the Bible down, they're estranged. And later, he finds love. He finds his father's heart. He finds something real, something awesome. How sad. I wonder if that story could be told different ways about people. Their anger hijacks their blessing. Their personality and their nature is stealing from them a calling that is realized only by faith. Receive the cross by faith, and you'll find the heart of God. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Why can't I just believe God when I don't understand everything? Why can't I just believe that God is in my life when I don't get it all, I don't have it all figured out? Why can't I just go on in faith and be easy on people and live with mercy and live in faith and learn in edifying and in the mystery of the fellowship? I was thinking about this little list up here. When you go to war, World War II or any war, we live like animals. It's the lowest way of thinking. It's the lowest, it's the worst way for society to operate in war. It's the worst. Every books are burned, schools are closed, people are killed, widows are made, orphans are made. It's terrible. But this life, this one, the spiritual one, is the highest kind of life because there is mercy. And that you really give me mercy, that's amazing. We give mercy, and we go to the city of Baltimore in God's plan like we've been doing for decades here, and we mentor some, we help some, we tell Eric, hang up the phone, Eric, and he's got that name now, and many other good things, Pastor Fred Ellis, Pastor Lightsey, the whole ministry operating right here in the city of Baltimore. What a blessing, with many great people. But it doesn't happen when I draw back. My soul draws back from faith. And that's easy to happen. I draw back to my reason. I do not tithe because of reason, not faith. I don't have faith to give God my money, my time, my life, my talents, my whole heart. We do it by faith. Wow. Missions. Getting on a plane, getting prepared, getting on a plane and going in God's plan by faith. By faith. Getting up early in the morning and waiting on God. And there's no way that it could be explained. It's just something that the Holy Spirit does through the whole thing is just a mystery. But there you are by faith, waiting on God and listening very quietly and anticipating. And if God, in this story, the boy was given, the young man was given a Bible, and if he had just received it graciously, if he had accepted it in faith, if he had respected his father, if he had just understood that there's something deeper here, if he had not reacted, what then would he have received? Well, similarly with us, our life in our trials is a walk of faith. So that's it. Yes. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, to be stirred in faith. Coming to church is easy for us because it's part of our life in faith. It's just a habit. We develop it because we live by faith and we are here because of faith. We live by faith. We receive from God as listeners because of faith. That Jesus healed by faith. He even said that in Exodus 15, he said, "None of the diseases of Egypt will come upon you if you do what I say." What a promise that is. If you do what I say, I will not put the diseases of Egypt on you. And I realize some of our sisters and brothers have cancer and are fighting it, and there is disease in the world, but it doesn't negate the word. The experiences of people are not canceling out the word. The word is the word. And when he said that, then let us believe him and accept what he has for us in his way. But there is no doubt we are healthy people because God does not put those diseases on us. And we are not of those, when we are sick, that draw back unto perdition. It means to draw back to destruction in our soul. But we believe and we move on in believing, and we live in the salvation of our soul in our lives. Yes, Lord. God, Jesus, if you're here tonight and you do not have Jesus in your life, now is the time. Look at the days we are living in. The time is now to believe and trust in him. And so please do it and raise your hand if you're doing it tonight. And for all of the others here, Father, that the sense, the word, the Spirit speaking, prayer, calling us to faith, that some of us don't have because we don't ask. That's true. Some of our stuff that we have in our life is because we don't ask God fervently in prayer, or simply in prayer, or quietly in prayer, or just ask God and he will do it. He will do it because he has faith is the substance of what we are looking for. The very reality of it is in our faith. Many times we take footsteps and it's not the answer, but it's the faith that we live in. We don't see the answer, but we have content in the Spirit. And the Spirit says, this is yours, like he said to Abraham. It is yours. This is yours. Yes, it is. Father, would you do good things in Nepal? Because we are asking you. Would you bring healing and revival in Nepal? God, because we are asking you. Would you change the city, the climate, the whole atmosphere, the spirit of the city of Baltimore, because we are asking you, that pastors would be wise and give godly counsel, like in number 3 up here on the wall, that we would learn and teach young people to give mercy and to learn mercy and to give mercy and to live in mercy because of living by faith. To discover a whole new life in the Spirit because of faith, not justice. We look for justice in the court system and all that. That's for sure. We love that. That's important. But we are talking about essence, reality, God, more than a man, but God himself. More than just people, but God himself in a society that brings power and healing and revival, that young people would have revival and prayer and the Spirit would move and there would be the word of grace and mercy in the high schools and the pastors would lead them. We would lead them. We would help them and make a difference, Lord, in this city and country. In Jesus' name, amen.